Numbers 21 and verse number 4 this morning. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God. Now you can underscore that word spake in your Bible. And I say this as lovingly and as tenderly as I can tell you in exhortation and warning. Your mouth will get you in more trouble in 5 seconds than you'll get out of in the next 50 years. Now that comes with wisdom and experience, but to learn to hold your tongue is, you ever been in one of them places you say, I had to say something or die? You'd be better off to die. And the people spake against God and against Moses. And wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We despise eating this light bread. What are they talking about? They're talking about the manna from heaven that God gave them, angels' food. I'll get into that in a minute. Verse number 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You say, Brother Mike, how in the world is that? This is such a strange and unusual story, and how could that work, that they could be healed just by looking at this brazen serpent on a pole? Well, if the Lord would help me today, and it'll take God for me to get through this, but if God would help me today, I want to speak to you on the subject of look and live. By way of introduction, when I get into this scripture, first thing, I just want to lay a foundation and a backdrop of understanding. The Lord told Moses to make a fiery serpent, a likeness thereof, and to put it on a pole before the people. What is that pole? Well, if you study this word and you understand that, and you military men understand this, that when you were in a battle group and you had an ensign or you had a flag that was your group, this is a flag pole. It's really a banner of war. It's really to signify who this is. And if you understand anything about those banners, you know it means something to somebody. It's something that people rally around and they gather together under. It's not just a pole. It's a banner of war and a flagpole. And the Word of God said that God told them to look upon this serpent. Now you can get hung up on this thing about believing in Jesus. Well, the devils believe and tremble. So you better get a better grip on what it means to believe in Jesus. And just the same as that, we got to get an understanding of what it means to look as far as what the scripture is saying right here. The word look means to behold, to consider, to discern, to gaze, to take heed, to stare, to think, to review, to regard, to have respect, and to have experience. Well, that's a whole lot more than just look. There's a lot to that. And there's something to this pole, this flagpole, this banner that symbolizes a common bond that brings people together. And this pole, this symbolism here, brought the entire nation of Israel together at one time and one place, and it brought them together under one flag. What flag was it that God was making sure they saw and understood? It's the flag of rebellion against God, against Moses, and against Jesus Christ. That's what this flag's about. That's what this banner's about. That's what this brazen serpent is about. It's about the rebellion of the people of God here. God did not intend for them to look casually. When he said look and live, he did not mean just glance up at it or just observe it as you're passing by, but it meant consider, behold, regard, respect. Experience the meaning of this brazen serpent. Why a brazen serpent? Why a serpent at all? In Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. In chapter 3, verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, she spoke truth. That serpent did beguile her. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You don't think for a minute that snake crawled on its belly in the Garden of Eden, do you? No. There's a lot of conjecture here and a lot I'm not sure about, but that serpent, the devil, is often referred to as a dragon. At least 14 times in your King James Bible, he's referred to as a dragon. There's a lot that goes into this, but I can tell you for certainty that at the very least, he did not crawl on his belly. At the very least, he had legs and quite possibly had wings. This was a fascinating creature. As a matter of fact, that's part of the definition of the word, is the fascination and how mesmerizing that serpent is. And you see that it was cursed in that it was from this day forward to crawl on its belly and eat the dust of the earth. And God told that serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. The word enmity means hatred. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not interested in getting in your business or your personal life. But I'm going to tell you what this authorized King James Bible says. If you're a woman and you like snakes, you're not normal. I'm just telling you what God said. I didn't get that out of Preacher's Magazine. I didn't make that up. God said he would put hatred between that woman and a serpent. And that you can stand and testify to that today. You let my wife stand and testify to that. I can promise you that much. But that's not all there is to it. There's a hatred between Satan and man. And God said it shall bruise thy head. It what? The seed. The seed of the woman. What's he talking about, the seed of the woman? He's talking about the eventuality that through the fruit of her womb, that Eve, having children and being the mother of all living, that there is going to come a day that there will be a seed born of a woman that will bruise his head. It's talking about Christ. This is the prophecy in the beginning of the Word of God, that one day there's going to be a Savior and he's going to bruise the head of Satan. Now I realize that your head is a very vulnerable part of your body, but it's more than just that, Brother Chip. When he said head here, that distinguishes a position of authority. A head, you know, the head down at the fire department, the head at whatever job you're in. Well, he's the head man. He's the head one in charge. Well, there's a head here, and there is authority that Christ on the cross of Calvary is going to stomp. And that's a prophecy of what's about to take place. 2,500 years before Moses makes this brazen serpent here in the wilderness, Adam united the entire human race under the banner of sin and rebellion. And 2,500 years earlier, God made man a promise that a Savior would one day be born, and he would bruise the head of the serpent, and he would redeem man from the penalty of sin and of death. And now, 2,529 years later, in a sovereign act of grace, the holy, three times holy God tenderly reminds the children of Israel, yea, even all the sons of Adam, that one day Messiah is going to come and God is going to keep his word. I'll give you three things by alliteration this morning. Three things God wanted them to see when they looked at that serpent. The first one was God wanted them to see sin. God wanted them to see sin, what it was and what a mess it was and what got them started in the mess that they're in. Verse 4 here in our text said the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We hate this stinking light bread you're making us eat. Is it not amazing to you that rather than be thankful that God fed them, they're complaining about what they got to eat? God wanted them to see their sin, and the consequences of sin is death because of the poison of these fiery serpents. This brazen serpent reminded them of their sin. It was an instrument of God's judgment. And sin's ugly, and sin's a source of hurt. Do you realize this morning, ladies, you look at me for just a minute, every tear you've cried, every broken heart you've ever had, every lonely night you've ever spent weeping and crying on your pillows because of sin. I'm not talking about your personal sin. I'm not talking about something you did. I'm talking about original sin. I'm talking about the fallen nature of man. And because of the sin nature and the original sin has brought about death and brought about destruction and brought about heartache. And every time, don't you get mad at God when your heart's broke and you're lonely. It's not God's fault. It's sin's fault. Man wants to blame God for all of his problems. I had a precious lady, and my wife, when I loved her very dearly, came to me in a restaurant a few years ago, and she's absolutely livid because she's had a grandchild that has died, and she's just angry at God and angry at everybody because her grandchild is dead. And she started asking me questions about how could a loving God let a little child like this die. I'm going to tell you what folks don't understand. They don't understand that that ain't God's fault. God ain't the one that sinned in the garden. It was your daddy Adam. And if you had have been there, I got news for you. Here's big news flash. You would have done the same thing he did. You would have failed just like he did. And it's amazing to me, and it breaks my heart that I see people all the time. And you see them too, and somebody's going to come in your mind right now if it ain't you. But there's people get mad at God, and they get so angry at God. And here's what they've done. They've lived their life the way they wanted to live. They've never put God in their life. They've lived for themselves. They've done everything they've done to make themselves feel better. They're so humanistic in their actions and their attitudes that they just want to live a better life. They want their family to have a better life. And they have left God out of the equation. They've left the church completely out of the picture. And you let something bad happen in their life, and then what do? They get mad at God. Well, I'm sorry, honey. It's not God's fault. It's sin. Man wants to be saved from the penalty of sin, and man wants to be rescued from the payment of sin, but man does not want to abandon the pleasures of sin. And 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden, through our father Adam, mankind got snake bit. And we've been poisoned by a serpent. Romans 5:12 said, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Brother Ed, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." What's he talking about? He's talking about your snake bit human nature. He's talking about the poison that you carry in your DNA that came from your daddy Adam. Ephesians 2:1 said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others."